is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Now they're in two. And the 0-2, and a swing and a fly ball to left center field. It's hit pretty well. It is gone! Marwin Gonzalez with a drive to left center. Homers off Jansen here in the top of the ninth, and the Astros have tied the game.
That was a big one. Didn't see that one coming, but boy, was it great. Marwin, telling you what.
You could tell in the call that, it goes back to what I was saying earlier about just junk home runs in that ballpark, because he was like, well, fly ball, that one's out of here. Like, you could tell he was surprised, and that's how a lot of those home runs flew out. It was pop flies that ended up being home runs.
I think part of the reason why Peterson and Seager celebrated so much was they knew they got it. Like, they really made solid contact.
More of a no-doubter than some of the other ones.
But, like, even Springer's. I mean, Springer didn't think it was gone. He actually said in one of the post-game interviews I saw, he said, basically, I knew I did my job. I knew I got a fly ball to the right side, so I was at least going to move him over, and it just kept carrying.
Yeah, and even watching Maben on that play, like, he went back to kind of tag, and then he saw that it was going out, so he started running, but it was still, like, I don't think that he really expected it to go out either.
No, I agree with you. And look, Maben made a hell of a defensive play, too, because there was some of the hardest hit balls last night were balls that didn't leave the yard. There was one in the gap right after he came in that I would assume George could probably get there, but boy, I thought that was going to get down and get off the wall, and he covered some serious ground to cut that thing off. So it was interesting that I think it was on the national broadcast, or it was on one of the studio shows where it was Mark Teixeira who said, hey, man, he goes, here's something that people aren't thinking about either. He goes, you know, obviously because he played for the Yankees, he goes, after what Maben did in the Yankee series, I'm pretty sure Astros fans and everybody thought, you will not see or hear from this guy the rest of the playoffs. And yet, here this guy comes in, gets a knock right away in a key situation, steals the base, and ends up scoring one of the runs, the key runs. He played, and like we said, and played some defense, too. He redeemed himself in a lot of ways last night with what he did on both sides of the baseball.
Yeah, you almost don't have a choice in the National League to not play a guy like that, right? When you're talking about you need a pinch runner, you need an at-bat, or you're going to need a defensive replacement and doing double switches. It was just how he got in the game to begin with. It was a double switch. So, it was a bit surprising. When I first saw him, I thought, man, don't screw nothing up out there. Don't quit on a fly ball this time. But he, like I said, he redeemed himself. Bringing it back and making a play in the outfield and stealing a bag and getting on base. That was big. I mean, they needed it. They needed that run. They needed his run as much as Springer's to win that game. So it was important.
Yeah, no doubt about it. With that being said, Josh wants to get in here. He wants to talk about Ken Giles. What's up?
Yeah, what a game, man. I get goosebumps listening to y'all talk about it. It was so awesome. I do think, though, Giles needs to be moved into another, like, a setup and bring him in for the eighth. Maybe the seventh. He looks like a three-out guy, and maybe not even that. But I think Musgrove maybe move as a closer. But I just wondered what y'all thought about that, because I just can't see that guy being our closer anymore. He's not going out there and going 1-2-3. It's one out, and then I'll get a couple people on and make you sweat a little bit. I don't need that. I need to know that you're going to go out there and get me an out. So, good game, go Astros.
Yeah, I mean, thanks, Josh.
You mentioned it earlier. I mean, he is your closer for this year.
He is the guy that got you here. Now, he, like I said, he is a different guy at home versus on the road, but man, his postseason ERA is 8.22 with a loss, two saves, and a 1.83 whip. If you don't know what whip is, that's walks plus hits divided by innings pitched. You want that number around one. He's almost at two. That's atrocious. And so is an 8 ERA. So I don't know. You kind of hope that the next game or two is a blowout one way or the other, so that you can either, in a blowout in the advantage of the Dodgers, you maybe throw him in there, let him get some extra work. I don't know, but I just there are guys in that bullpen that have closed before. Harris has been a closer, and he's having a really decent postseason. Gregerson has been a closer, and he's a guy. McHugh has come in and pitched four innings straight without giving up a run, but that might be your middle relief guy that you have to have if one of your starters, if McCullers has a bad first couple of innings and you need some long relief. McHugh's probably that first guy out of the pen. But right now, I mean, if you're A.J. Hinch, there's really no guy you trust in that bullpen because the guy you did trust is now pitching game three. So there's really, other than maybe McHugh
But what about Gregerson?
Possibly Musgrove. Gregerson has pitched okay, but Gregerson's one of those guys. He's a lot like Giles. When he's on, he's almost unhittable. But can you count on him to be on every time and when you need him down the stretch in the World Series? If this was just
a
series against the Dodgers, then yeah, you might run Gregerson out there. This is the World Series. This is it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And do you want to put, if you're A.J. Hinch and you're the Astros, do you put all your eggs in Gregerson's basket or Giles' basket to close out a game?
So I'm saying, I mean, I think he's going to ride his starters a little as long as possible. He's going to be the anti-Roberts in terms of managerial moves with the pitchers because of the fact that he's lost trust even more so than he's already feeling uneasy about his bullpen since the playoffs started in this World Series. And so I don't think he's going to dabble with the pen unless he absolutely has to. And I think... You know, I'm with you. I think McHugh's a guy because he's shown that he can do it. Peacock's been shaky, too. I think, yeah, maybe Musgrove. I think McHugh. Maybe Gregerson. But I've been uneasy about Giles all season long. And I think, look, in the offseason, one of the things that I was saying on Twitter last night was, if you really are in contender mode for the next 3 to 5 years, I don't say you got to move Giles unless it's his decision. But I think you move him out of that closer role and move him into more of a setup role and see if that works because, man, you want lights out when you turn it over to a closer and you look at what they just dealt with. When you see guys like when you see what Chapman does for the Yankees, you see what Jansen does for the Dodgers, you see those kind of guys, you see what the Red Sox have. And I don't have that kind of confidence when Giles comes into a ballgame.
Harris has gone 3 innings and given up 1 earned run. That's a 3 ERA. Better. That's not bad. McHugh has gone 4 innings in his one outing and not given up any runs. So that's your no doubt middle relief guy if you need him, if one of your starters falter. Gregerson has gone 2 2/3 innings, 1 hit, no earned runs, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. I mean, that's why I say he's a guy that's closed. What if A.J. Hinch is looking at his lineup and he sees Brad Peacock, 8.44 ERA, Davinsky, 8.44, Giles, 8.22, Musgrove, a 7.36 ERA. This is all in the postseason. Not just the World Series, not just Yankees, all of the postseason. That's most, I mean, you don't trust Liriano. You know what I mean? Keuchel is, so you're down to Harris, McHugh, and Gregerson. And I think of those three, the one guy that has the most experience as a closer is Gregerson. So you might see a combination of Gregerson and McHugh, Gregerson and Harris. But those are the three guys I think that now A.J. Hinch has to turn to in this bullpen late in games.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see because, like we said, he's not going to have the quick hook that Roberts has with the Dodgers. They're going to really be hoping that their starters go deep into ball games, just like Keuchel and
I mean, you're going to have to make a move at some point, though.
Yeah, but you do know it, what right? I mean?
You're going to have to do it at some, because McCullers, you can't, he might get you 6 or 7, but you know, with him still coming back from injury, he hasn't pitched more than what, 85 pitches?
Right.
So, you're going to have to, but you might just see those three if they can get you through the sixth, those might
be
your three.
It's actually a blessing your next three goes with a DH, too, because that's what forces you to make a lot of early moves like the Dodgers have made. The fact that it's going to be here at Minute Maid, American League rules and the designated hitter help the Astros in that regard because they don't have to make moves earlier and tap into that bullpen quicker. Other news of the day before we get to a break, Joe Girardi. So it looks like the Astros are manager killers. John Farrell out with the Red Sox after the Astros eliminated them. And now today, in a somewhat surprising move, although his contract was up, Joe Girardi won't be back. The Yankees have decided to go in another direction. And after a 10-year stint and a good run with the Yankees, Joe Girardi no longer the manager of the New York Yankees.
Kind of surprised about that.
I am too.
I don't think that it was his fault that they lost. I think they just got beat by a better team, and that happens. And you know, he got blamed for the one move by not going to the replay. But other than that, I think Girardi's a hell of a manager. And I don't know that he'll go anywhere else. But if I was him, I would. I mean, he's a good manager.
I think the perfect fit for him, if they want him, is Washington. Because it's a veteran club. It's a contending club. I think because of his experience, he can help that club. I just think that's a possible opportunity for him. But he's going to have jobs that are going to be offered to him. It's just a shame because it seemed like the young baby bombers really took to him. And the way they protected him and wanted to win that series for him in the opening round against Cleveland, you could tell how well-regarded he is in that clubhouse, I was shocked that he wasn't coming back.
Yeah, it's a big move. I mean, but it's the Yankees. They don't mess around.
Nope.
Nobody's so untouchable
interesting to see
in the
who
Yankees.
They get to fill his role, too, because you know they're saying, well, you can elevate the bench coach. In New York, you don't do something like that. They're going to look for a splashy move, a big-name move, and I don't really know who's out there. Maybe Brad Ausmus gets a look. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, you think they trust somebody like Ausmus to take over?
I think
the
everybody thinks that Brad Ausmus is he's a very sharp baseball mind as opposed to some of the guys. Like, I don't think they're going to knock on Robin Ventura's door.
His knock, though, is that he wasn't ever a Yankee.
Who, Brad Ausmus?
Ausmus.
Okay. Does that matter that much?
I think it matters a lot to the Yankees.
Okay. All right, so it'll be interesting to see. The Yankees have a vacancy. Washington still has a vacancy. There are jobs out there to be had. We'll see how they get filled. But Joe Girardi, no longer the manager of the New York Yankees. We'll be back with a whole lot more. But right now, I want to tell you about an event coming up this Saturday, October the 28th. It's ESPN and 97.5 and Culture Map joining together for the Horses and Goddesses Gala in beautiful Magnolia, Texas. It's a full day of equestrian events with $100,000 in prize money at stake and a world-class field. That's all during the day. And that's all free. And then at night, it's a fantastic event. It is the Horses and Goddesses Gala. It's in beautiful Magnolia, Texas. It's a great event with food and beverage, lots of chances to interact and socialize, and great opportunities to contribute. It's a fantastic event, and it's a full day and night of all different kinds of things going on that you and your family or you and your loved ones can be a part of. So go check it out. It's harriscup.com, HARASCUP.com for ticket information on the gala, and also go out there and check out all the equestrian events during the day. The Harris Cup coming to Magnolia this Saturday, October the 28th.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Set and the 2-0 and a swing and a ball well hit. Deep left center field. Altuve with a home run. Jose Altuve lines the ball to left center, and the Astros have taken the lead. Now here's another one. Correa hits one a mile to left into the seats. Tosses the bat way high up into the air towards his teammates over by the dugout. He launched it, and he knew it. Back-to-back home runs, and the Astros lead 5-3.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, Joel, and Tyler till 4 as we continue to roll on. Interesting that one of the great things about when you do what you do in on the main stage, like the World Series, like Correa and Altuve, but you got Harold Reynolds and guys saying not only are they the best middle infield duo in baseball now, but Harold Reynolds last night said on several occasions he thinks if they continue to do what they've been doing to this level, they will go down as the greatest middle infield combination in the history of baseball, which is saying a lot.
That's high praise.
Yeah, very big praise. And speaking of high praise, Jose Altuve just named Sporting News' Baseball Player of the Year. Let's hope that's just the start of collecting hardware as he heads towards the Most Valuable Player Award, but well-deserved, as we talked about. That dude is just, he's nails.
Yep. You're getting a lot of love on the text lines for your musical selection, Tyler, so keep it up. And then you could tell in that highlight with Altuve that it was another one of those calls where it sounded like he was calling an out or a pop fly or a deep fly ball, and then it ended up being a home run. Now, Correa's was no doubt because he was like, there's a drive, that's deep, that's gone. But Altuve's, it kind of sounded like it fooled him as well. And, you know, I had said earlier that there was a bunch of junk home runs. Matt and Katie was like, Barry, I don't think you should talk about junk home runs. The Crawford boxes is only 315 feet. Yeah, but it's 19 feet high, so that matters too. I mean, all right. That's the best defense I have for that. That's all I got.
I'll tell you this, too. With all the praise that Dodger Stadium is getting as a whole, too, it's ancient. You guys know I went there this year in the summer, And their idea of what they call a suite or a VIP area is just like a top of a section in the lower level at Minute Maid. And when you look at the dimensions and the way it's all put out, yeah, it's a beautiful backdrop with the trees and the mountain, you know, the whatever. But overall, it's a dump.
Crap hole.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they're still not playing on old AstroTurf there.
Well, it's a good thing because that's the one thing they got going for them. Like, I even asked Lisa because she grew up there. But I said, so they leave the palm trees and the trees in between, like, parking spaces out in the parking lot. She goes, oh, that adds to the beauty. I'm like, man, it's beautiful as all get out, like, around the stadium and on the outside. But on the inside, I was amazed at how old it is.
So it's just like a shallow chick. It's really, really beautiful on the outside, but inside just
remember the
dead.
Old Summit? Remember the old Summit? Yep. The suites were way up on top, and they weren't really like luxury suites. They were just like cut out boxes with the chairs in it.
Yep.
That's like they had a certain section that said with these big signs on the concourse that said, you can request this VIP suite area for your next outdoor experience at a Dodger game. And you look at it, it's 12 chairs roped off at the top of one of the sections in the lower level. I'm like, and they go, and you get pizza. I'm like, oh boy. I mean, there's no fridge, no bathroom, no plush seats.
We get $2 pizza that they charge $12 for. What a deal.
Yeah. I mean, at least at some of these other stadiums, they've upgraded. You know, obviously, the field itself stays the same, like in Boston with the Green Monster. But the suites are upgraded. The seats are upgraded. There are souvenir stop shops and everything like that, very nice. But they're on the outside parts of the stadium. Overall, I was not over. It's a great place to watch a game, but the stadium itself was like, meh.
I'm amazed that Minute Maid has still held up after all these years as one of the most beautiful ballparks to enjoy a game at. And I'm not just saying that because I'm in Houston, because I've been to several ballparks. It's a great place to go watch.
It really is.
And the enhancements now, getting rid of that stupid hill and the flagpole and putting the batter's eye in back there. And it's just, I mean, we're actually pretty lucky in that regard to have a really nice stadium to go enjoy baseball.
You're right. And here's the other thing. Think about
too bad we're not a baseball town.
Well, but think about the other things, too. Think about the fact that if you have kids, you can go to the, what do they call it, the Minute Maid area where the kids can, like, simulate bat taking, swinging the cages.
Oh, I thought we're all the kids
together. Doing
all
these different interactive things for the kids.
Yeah, it's like the kid zone.
Yeah, the kid zone. There you go. There's so much to do when you're at the stadium that it's a great experience to go to a ball game there. Okay, well, but that's basically... Tyler's in there laughing. I don't know what he's laughing about.
Because I said a hell.
Because
thank you. Well, at least you... Nah.
Yeah, no, that's good. Kids, yeah.
I liked it.
All right, so Sigmund Bloom is next. We're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to talk some football. He is our expert on fantasy football. You know he joins us every Thursday at 2:30. He also joins Houston Game Day with Barry and Shock on Sundays. And he is not only an expert, but he knows his stuff and he rolls. So we have been asking you to get us your requests in advance, and you've been doing a good job of that. Now's the time when you want to call 713-780-3776 because we do take calls first. So if you haven't gotten a chance to either text us and or send us a tweet, then give us a call and we'll get Sigmund your fantasy football question right now. 713-780-3776 or just keep continuing to text us or tweet us as we'll get ready to roll with Sigmund next. Don't go anywhere. We're at the midway point. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, coming out of the midway break, it is Barry, Tyler, and Joel on The Usual Suspects. And just like we usually do on Thursdays at 2:30, it is time to get all of your fantasy football questions, desires, and needs taken care of in one segment and one segment only. That's why we bring in the rapid fire expert that is Sigmund Bloom. We appreciate him each and every Thursday spending some time with us. Sigmund, thanks so much for joining us. Welcome back.
It's good to be back, and I'm just glad I could provide a little distraction after the epic struggle that we watched last night. And you know, it's hard for the football season to be upstaged, but I think the Astros did it.
Yeah, man. Hey, do you? You're a baseball fan, I guess. Do you play fantasy baseball at all?
I used to be as obsessed with fantasy baseball as I was with fantasy football, but since I've been doing this, my attention span has to stay much more narrow and limited.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why you're an expert, right? Otherwise, yeah. You'd just be jack of all trades, master of none. I didn't say ha, you did. Yeah. All right, let's get to the calls first, Sigmund. Any injury news that the peeps need to be aware of?
You know, tonight we're going to see Matt Moore start. We're waiting to see if Devontae Parker is going to play at Baltimore to see maybe if Kenny Stills can help us out. I don't think we're going to get Emmanuel Sanders back. I don't expect we're going to get Golden Tate back. Possibly he could play Sunday night, but you might not want to wait around for that. Sunday morning, I think we might get Stephon Diggs back in London in a good matchup against Cleveland. But it is Minnesota's bye next week, so they may give that one a game-time decision.
Is Moore a viable start this week? I mean, is he somebody you can trust, or is he just desperation?
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily trust him, but I don't know if it's complete desperation after the way he played in the second half and how he's played anytime he's gotten on the field during his career. And I don't think Baltimore's pass defense is as good as it looks like on paper because they haven't really faced anybody. So if I had to go to the waiver wire, and I did have to in a few leagues, and Matt Moore was one of my only choices, I would feel okay with that.
All right, 713-780-3776. If you want to get your fantasy questions answered by the one and only Sigmund Bloom, 713-780-3776. Let's get our first call in from Sean. Sean, what's your question for Sigmund?
I got a QB and a flex question. So QB, okay. I'm going to go Roethlisberger or Deshaun Watson. And for my flex, I need to know Chris Thompson or Will Fuller. Thanks.
Yep, I'll go with Watson over Roethlisberger. I still think Watson's going to be fine at Seattle, and you know, even if it's rough at first, like it was against Kansas City, we see him make it up in the second half. And I would go ahead and go with Thompson over Fuller, just because Fuller hasn't been getting enough targets to feel like you can really trust him. Where Thompson is a mainstay in the offense and a good matchup against Dallas this week.
All right, Christian Gonzalez on Twitter has a couple of questions for you. Who should I start at quarterback this week, Big Ben or D. Watson? And then on defense, Steelers, Texans, or Broncos?
Yeah. Probably go ahead and go with the Steelers defense against Matthew Stafford. None of those are ideal choices. Cincinnati would be the best one on the waiver wire facing Indianapolis. And then again, I'll go with Watson over Roethlisberger. I think Roethlisberger's a safe play this week. I just don't think he's necessarily a high ceiling play at Detroit.
All right, CJ Anderson or Pierre Garçon in a flex position?
I'll go with Garçon just because I think there's going to be a lot of garbage time against Philadelphia. And with Denver's going to Kansas City, I don't expect them to get much money. Plus, they're going to give Jamaal Charles more work in his revenge game.
Half-point PPR, Adam Thielen or Jarvis Landry, Kamara or McCaffrey?
Landry should be in. Matt Moore is, again, throwing more downfield to him. And then I'll go with Kamara in that second one. New Orleans' offense has been on fire. Kamara's been on fire. And Christian McCaffrey looks like he has a limited ceiling week to week where Kamara can break some big plays.
All right, non-PPR, Tevin Coleman, Doug Martin, or Amir Abdullah need two.
Martin should be in just because we know he's going to get volume. Between Abdullah and Coleman, you know, Abdullah has been doing so little. Atlanta doesn't really even know how to use Coleman. But I would probably still go with Coleman in the matchup against the Jets and their young defense.
All right. DeSean Jackson or Smith-Schuster at wide receiver?
As long as he's going to play, and he did have a concussion, second one of the year, I would go with Smith-Schuster. Martavis Bryant's going to be inactive. Darius Slay's going to probably lock up with Antonio Brown, so Smith-Schuster's got the best matchup against the Lions secondary.
713-780-3776. You can text the show or call the show if you got questions for Sigmund. Wentz, Cam, or Ryan in a PPR league? That's from Justin.
Wentz. The answer is Wentz until he lets us down, especially against San Francisco.
All right. PPR league, Fuller or Allen? Excuse me.
Keenan Allen against New England. You know, this is a good matchup. Matt Ryan's dud last week notwithstanding, and Keenan Allen looks like he's over his shoulder injury. He'll be fine.
Aguilar or Kelly in a flex standard scoring.
Aguilar, he's been scoring almost every week. Wentz is on fire. Again, San Francisco's defense is full of holes. You know, I actually like Rob Kelly against Dallas, but I think the Aguilar is hard to take out of your lineup right now.
All right, Dalton, and then Wilson or Dalton, and then Miller or Murray in a PPR league.
I would go with Wilson over Dalton. I like Dalton's matchup, but Wilson they've opened up the offense for, and go with Murray over Lamar Miller. You know, I do think that Houston might be playing from behind and not leaning on the running game as much, where the Minnesota's going to be playing from ahead, and Murray should get 15-plus carries in London.
Somebody had a question. What do you do in Lynch's absence with Oakland running backs? Is there a start in there?
There is, as a flex or maybe a desperation or in a buy-in running back, too. I like DeAndre Washington better in non-PPR leagues. I think he'll get the goal line carry after his determination at the goal line. But Jalen Richard's the better receiver and the better play in PPR leagues, and they should split the work right down the middle.
All right, Dexter, you have a question for Sigmund. Go ahead.
So non-PPR, need to know who should I start, Cam Newton or Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Watson here. Newton hasn't really instilled a lot of confidence with the way he's played the last few weeks. I know Tampa Bay's defense has been vulnerable and Seattle's good, but I'd rather play with the player that has been playing better going into the game.
Ryan, you're up. What's up, Ryan?
Got to go with Brady or Watson, and then Jordy Nelson or Will Fuller.
Hey, you got to go with Fuller this week just because Nelson's on bye, but probably in the future. I actually think Nelson could bounce back. And as much as I like Watson, I'm going to go with Brady here just because he's got that high floor safe option to leave in your lineup.
You still believing in Derek Carr? Somebody asked Watson or Carr. How are you feeling about that?
I still have Watson ahead of Carr because of his running ability, because of how high his ceiling is. I mean, these 3, 4, 5 touchdown games. I do believe in Derek Carr, although they're traveling east, Oakland, you know, West Coast team traveling east for an early game sometimes can be a little bit sluggish. And at least until last week, Buffalo's defense was underrated.
What's a couple of streaming defensive options that folks can look for out there with the bye weeks upon us?
Yeah, I'd really like Cincinnati this week going up against Indianapolis. I really feel like Indianapolis is almost ready to just fold up shop this week. Philadelphia is a great one against San Francisco this week if you can get them out there. If someone dropped Kansas City because they have been underperforming, they're great on Monday night. I like New Orleans at home against Mitchell Trubisky. I like Minnesota against Cleveland. And also, you know, if you have to go with Baltimore tonight or Miami, I think this could be a game where the defense is, you know, Baltimore's at home, Miami's facing Joe Flacco. Either one of them could come through on a short week.
Several running back questions, Sigmund. One, just to kind of sort through the running back issues in Seattle, Minnesota, and then even with Adrian Peterson really falling off the planet in Arizona.
Yeah.
Just what they're going to, those three teams are going to do for sure.
Well, Arizona's offense is going to go off a cliff. And maybe Larry Fitzgerald can survive it, but I'm not playing Adrian Peterson until I see what they can do. Seattle's going to remain split three ways. CJ Precise might be healthy enough to play over J.D. McKissick, but Rawls and Lacy are splitting the rest of the work. They're not running the ball effectively anyway. I'm not even sure I would roster Seattle back right now. Minnesota's going to split the work down the middle between Murray and McKinnon. McKinnon's a better play in PPR leagues. Maybe Murray in non-PPR if he gets more of the goal line carries. And they're content to be a pretty boring team with Teddy Bridgewater, Case Keenum, and not really throwing much downfield. So the running backs should continue to get 15-plus touches a game.
And if you're looking for that home run or a pickup that's going to produce, what about Alfred Morris with the situation that's going on with Zeke in Dallas?
Maybe. You know, we're going to hear next week. I still think that the team's going to go to Darren McFadden if Zeke Elliott is suspended this year. They've been carrying him as a healthy scratch, and I don't expect them to be carrying him just to be the backup to the backup. But I'm not saying McFadden can hold on to the job. I do think there's a better than 50-50 chance we're going to see Elliott play for the whole year. So I would say McFadden, if you want to pick up somebody to anticipate potentially Elliott getting suspended next week.
713-780-3776. Couple of minutes left with Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com. If you want to get your fantasy questions answered before the game starts tonight, plus the weekend, now's your chance. You can call or text 713-780-3776. Back to the phone line. Sammy, you're up. What's your question?
Yeah, I got a question. Who should I start, Will Fuller or Juju Smith?
Yeah, I'll go with Juju Smith against Schuster this weekend. Assuming that he's cleared to play, I just think that he's going to have the best matchup. Roethlisberger's going to find him. And Fuller can still come through with one or two touchdowns like he has been, but there's a thin margin of error.
All right, similar question. If you had a PPR flex between Fuller and Hogan, who are you going with?
Hogan, and you know, Hogan's just been safe. You know, Fuller has been somewhat safe these last 3 weeks, but when he's only getting a handful, 3, 4, 5 targets a game, then it's really easy for him to put up a zero or a very small score.
Chris, you're up. What's up, Chris? What's your question?
What's up, guys? I got a PPR league. Cohen or Abdullah?
I thought that Chicago could use Cohen the right way. They did the first few weeks, but I can't right now the way that this offense is being put together. He could come through in the Superdome, but I would take the safe points that you get with 15 or 18 touches from Amir Abdullah.
How disappointing is that? Everyone rushed out to grab Cohen off the waiver wires, and now he's been nothing.
Looks good.
Yeah.
He still looks good. He had one catch for 70 a few yards last week, and that's it. I mean, how can he not be getting more work? I don't understand.
All right, last one we got time for. Alshon Jeffrey or Chris Thompson in a PPR league?
Chris Thompson. I mean, Alshon Jeffrey has been disappointing. The matchup's good, but the matchup was good last week without Josh Norman, and Chris Thompson's coming through every week.
All right, looks like we got somebody on the phone line. We don't have the name, but go ahead, caller. You're up. Oh, did we lose him? All right. Okay. Well, we got more on the text line, so we'll get that call back up. Flex option, Ertz, Crabtree, or Kelvin Benjamin?
Ertz. You can't go away from him. He's finally catching touchdowns now, and again, it's a great matchup against San Francisco.
Abel, you're up.
Hi. I was wondering, what do you think about Smallwood or Frank Gore?
Yeah. Really, anyone but Frank Gore at this point. I mean, I just think Indy is on the road. Marlon Mack's going to probably get as much or more work than Frank Gore. So I'd go with Smallwood in the easy matchup and hope he gets a touchdown.
Anyone but Frank Gore sounds like a bad campaign slogan.
Yeah. Well, and it's just too bad. Right. There was a time I think we had Gore going against Bush when Reggie Bush was in the league, but no longer.
And a quick one, Sigmund, on the Arizona situation going forward. Is Johnson just done for the year, or is he worth keeping on your bench until you see what happens where he might come on late?
I mean, I would want to know who you could pick up for him. He could still come back around Thanksgiving, and I think even if Drew Stanton is the quarterback or Blaine Gabbert's the quarterback, I would want to start David Johnson. And it's an injury to his wrist, so he'll be in football shape once he's ready to play and they're ready for him to play in some sort of splint or something. So I would still hold on to him unless there's something really compelling out there.
That's a good tip.
All right, last one. We'll go to the phone lines. Lindsay, you get the honors. What's your question?
I just had a little two-part question. Alex Smith or Kirk Cousins? And Cook with Oakland or Jordan Reed at tight end?
Sure. I'll go with Cousins, although we want to watch to make sure that some of his offensive line is healthy enough to play. I think five of the top six players at offensive line were out or limited for practice today, so we'll watch that. And then Reed, too. I would expect Washington and Dallas to be the highest scoring matchup of the weekend. You definitely want to get a piece of that.
Good stuff, Sigmund. How can the folks get a hold of you if they have questions or need advice or want to get some of those apps you guys offer?
At Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com message board. I have a thread. I answer questions every Sunday up until game time. And then we've got the lineup dominator and the waiver wire and trade dominator where you get your favorite apps to help. Like, we're looking over your shoulder when you're making decisions.
Yeah. What do you prefer? Do you prefer the Twitter questions or do you prefer them go to the message board? Which one
is
easier for you?
Well, the message board, you've got a better chance of the message board because I don't want to end up in Twitter jail. I used to, you know, the Twitter doesn't like it if you post too many posts in a short period of time. So Twitter maybe Friday, Saturday leading up to the games, but on Sunday morning exclusively at the message board.
Got it. Very good. Appreciate it as always, Sigmund. We'll talk to you on Sunday.
Thanks. Good luck, everyone.
Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com, answering your fantasy questions each and every week. And again, if you didn't get your questions answered now, and I know there was a ton on the text lines that we didn't get to, you can also ask on their message boards or hit us up on Sunday on Houston Game Day, 9 to noon. We bring in Sigmund at 11:30 to get those last-minute roster spots filled. All right, now I want to tell you guys about my favorite place to eat in the city of Houston. It's called Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. It's located at 1901 Taft in Midtown. And I'm telling you guys, if you haven't gone out there yet, go ahead and do yourself a favor and get out there. They've got the best of both worlds. They've got Southern comfort food and Indian food. You're going to love this place. I've been getting people to go out there and getting their feedback, and it's all been positive. The listeners are tweeting to me pictures of the food. Somebody just went and had the Himalayan Heat Burger the other day, told me how good it was. It exceeded expectations. I know they're going to do the same for you. You just got to go out there and give it a shot. 1901 Taft in Midtown. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. They're known for the best butter chicken in Houston, but I'm telling you, put that Himalayan Heat Burger on your list. It might be one of the better burgers in this city. They also have quesadillas made with naan bread. They've got chicken fried steak, chicken curry, sliders, wings. Best of both worlds, like I said, all of it delicious. And the Indian food, is family recipes that Haas and his staff have perfected over the years. Haas took the recipes from his aunts and his grandmother and his mom, and he's all perfected it, and it's delicious. In fact, it's still in the family. Like, the family helps him make some of the food some days. You're going to love this place. Like, I got the chicken fried steak the other day. They don't make it until you order it. So you know it's fresh. You know it's good. And a lot of that meat is locally sourced. They get it here in town. So it's really good stuff. They have a lunch special going on right now as well from between 11 o'clock and 3 o'clock. You get the ESPN 97.5 special, which is a half-pound classic burger with fries for $8.99. Get out there and give it a shot. Enjoy their full-service bar while you watch the Astros win the World Series. Also, if you don't want to leave, if you want to watch the game and have Cowboys and Indians delivered to the house, you can do that with DoorDash, Uber Eats, and Grubhub. 1901 Taft in Midtown, CNI713 on Facebook. Take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world with Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. There's nothing like it. Throw that to the side. I get those goosebumps every time, yeah, when you're not around. When you throw that to the side, I get those goosebumps every time.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
En dirección hacia territorio de Jardín Central, rápidamente, Springer! A lo profundo!
That was the George Springer home run on the ESPN Deportes national broadcast last night.
Can you translate that for me?
No, but I can tell you that he said Springer went deep, and it was a bomb.
What is the no?
He start that guy's call. He doesn't. I know. He does it for soccer too.
Okay, like, so it's just. Yeah,
I've heard him do it for soccer. Like, yeah. It's just because goals rhymes with no.
He used to do the na 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 and do like the Sports Center.
Theme. He does it on the football calls.
And what he would do is he'd do the na 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 na.
Is that the Mexican version of back?
I don't know.
Is that what that is? Yeah. Okay.
Even well, they, or they Spanish ran it version, on, I should say. Van Pelt last night, and he's like, he said the same thing you did. He's like, anyone here? And I think they had Eduardo Perez. They're like, Eddie, can you translate that for
hell?
Me?
Yeah.
And he did. Obviously, he gave some of it, but it was like,
I tell you what, I don't know what the hell he's saying, but it gets me hype. I'm not gonna lie. You're just like, yes. I could turn that on and maybe put on closed captions and watch it, you know?
You know what's not going to get you guys hyped? And I'll get you, I want your thoughts on this. And one other thing I want to get your thoughts on too. But Jake Kaplan just tweeted out, no Astros were finalists for Golden Glove Awards.
I saw. I thought you almost said Golden Globe, didn't you?
Yeah, no.
Whenever I mean, when I told you about the Altuve thing, I forgot to mention that.
Yeah.
I thought Altuve would be. I thought Keuchel always is, that he'd at least be a finalist. And Springer in center field always gets a lot of love for the defense that he plays. I'm a little surprised by that. Not one.
If I'm not mistaken, it's not a vote though, right? It's based off of fielding percentage, or do they just vote?
I don't know if it's a vote. I don't know how they do it, but I mean, you know, if they do it like anything else, they ask the peers, you know, your peers and your colleagues and the other players in the league. And I don't know how they do this, but I'm surprised one way or another, especially once you've won one or multiples, as in the case of Keuchel.
Keuchel, yeah.
Yeah, you would think that they would at least be finalists.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not just based off of stats, but I just wonder how much of it is just strictly stats driven. And I'll be honest with you, I think the Astros are a good defensive team, but I don't think any of them are great or gold glove worthy.
I think Springer is.
Okay.
All right. So the Rawlings Gold Glove Award, usually referred to as the Gold Glove, is the award given annually to MLB player judged to have exhibited superior individual fielding performances at each fielding position in both National and American League, as voted by the managers and coaches in each league. Managers are not permitted to vote for their own players. Additionally, a sabermetric component provided by Society for American Baseball Research Saber. Accounts for approximately 25% of the vote.
Okay. So it's three quarters votes from managers that can't vote for their own and one quarter stats.
I just think back to the regular season, how many balls in the gap and how many diving plays that Springer made and how many times he gets to balls and climbs the walls and does. But this year, more than the climbing of the walls, he was diving, running in, and cutting balls off in the alley that I thought he'd at least be a finalist.
Yeah, and you can't make the excuse that, well, he bounced around from right to center because it's not based off of position in the outfield. It's just outfield. You just get outfield gold gloves. So, I would think he's up there in the upper echelon of defenders in the outfield. But, I mean, there's a
hell of a lot of good outfielders out there. But
yeah,
just like I think there's a, I think it's a lost art, a defensive fielding pitcher. And I think that Keuchel, like Greg Maddux used to do, in my mind, just he fields the position the right way.
Early on, he had a couple of errors, though. And then, remember, he missed a lot of time. He missed a lot of time, too. So maybe that had something to do with it. When you look at Correa missed some time, Springer missed some time. So maybe injuries played more of a role in them not getting nominated, at least, than anything else.
Who knows? Look at the difference between Keuchel and then you look at Rich Hill. I mean, Rich Hill can probably knock one through from 50 yards when you need a good field goal. But the way he jumps off the mound, the way they were doing that with Smoltz last night was funny because...
Better odds... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Because just he looks like a flying Melendez when he comes off the mound.
The way he kicks his leg. Yeah.
Goes off to the one side.
Yeah. They did you see where they showed him comparing him to the Michigan
That's
field
what I'm
goal
saying.
Kicker?
Yeah, that's Smoltz crazy. Is a Michigan guy, so that's why he was all over it. Michigan State guy, sorry.
Better odds, CC Sabathia winning a gold glove or Altuve dunking a basketball?
I would say Altuve dunking a basketball.
Really?
Yeah, CC. Let me just say this, and we never touched on this, and I know that he a couple years ago, he dabbled with vegan and these different things.
Didn't work.
Oh, my God. He wears a baggy enough uniform, you would think you wouldn't see that he's got an overhang worthy of an awning for a stomach, the way it hangs over. He's huge.
He's a big boy. The best way to put the way he looks, and my wife's like, he looks sloppy. I was like, well, that's one way to describe
it. Disheveled and chunky.
And be nice, because I'll probably look like that one day. Don't call me sloppy, but, I mean, not a bad description. He's just kind of, you look at him and you think, what is this dude, a softball, slow pitch pitcher or something like that? But he throws junk, but he got the job done at least in one of the outings, and he didn't fare terribly in a second one. He got yanked early, but... Yeah. Yeah, dude, he not the epitome of health. It's the one guy that they'll use when they tell you that baseball players aren't athletes. Because it's like, well,
what are the chances in 5 years the commercial is CC Sabathia and Frank Thomas at the gym? Hey, Frank, I'm not feeling or looking like I once did, and you still look like the Big Hurt. What can I do?
Yeah.
maybe there's a cure in there for CC.
Yeah.
All right, so we got two in the books, one to go. Plenty more of the big show. We haven't even touched on the fact that the Rockets came back from the depths of the dead last night and hit a buzzer beater to win a game on the road. So that was big. And we've got plenty more to talk about with a Thursday night football game on the horizon and lots of other things as well. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Back with hour number three in just mere minutes right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.